from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. It's time for the podcaster that's here to snuggle you up, tuck you in, poof and puff. Poof and puff and pat it down. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener and you fall asleep fast, if I could just have your attention for a few minutes here. These are the ways we keep the show going. And when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, you could look them up at sleepwithmepodcast.com. Or in the show notes of your podcast app, you could, you know, you could say, oh, there's who sponsored the show tonight. Thanks. Here, let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Media Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody, I wanted to thank Joni with an I and her husband and Jonathan B., my good buddy, for supporting Quip and sharing with me online. Supporting the sponsors is a huge way of helping keep the show free for everybody, so I really appreciate it. Plus, they were all enjoying their Quips. You can find out about all our sponsors at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Also, shout out to Ellie S., who sent me some emails. I wasn't able to respond. I think there's like a filter in place there. But I wanted you to know I got your email, and I appreciate your being a great listener and fan. Thanks so much.
Yeah, there's a few different people who help out on the show, right, Mr. Bard? Whom are they, or who are they?
Chris Posty Poster, some sounds like an earful, wrote the theme song,
edits episodes too.
Carl W., the legend,
also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer,
runner. Eric and the team, that is down there on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies.
Got a new album out.
I think you really like it.
You can get a copy at
JonathanMann.net.
Also, I made a longer version
of this credits song.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance,
dance
to be part of Nine Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And remember, you can listen to Sleep With Me in a smart speaker. Spread the word that way. Say, hey, listen in a smart speaker. You just say, hey, smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. And then if you like, you could say, hey, set a smart speaker, set a sleep timer for whatever. You could just say, hey, sleep. You could say, hey, so you could say it clearly, but say, set a sleep timer and sell seashells by the seashore. And yeah, well, that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's the thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that, distract you from that. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, rustified tangents. I'll be wearing meanderwear, which enables me, but believe it or not, most, they say, oh, this has compression. I hear that. They say, oh, this stuff's compression. When they say that, it just means it's really tight, and it may be from some spandex material. Also, they stopped using spandex for the most part. I think that's probably like a brand, but at one point, the spandex was the like, you didn't make cat's pajamas out of spandex, but maybe a cat would like that. I doubt it, and it's been a while since we talked about cat's pajamas and meanderwear, so maybe that's what we'll talk about later. But if you're new, here's a few things. Welcome, I'm glad you're here, and I hope this podcast can help you fall asleep. Now, it doesn't work for everybody, so give it a few tries, see if it works for you. I hope it does, because I think you deserve a good night's sleep. Everyone does. And you deserve to be treated with dignity and respect and have this nice, relaxing place to check out. But here's a few things of note. Don't try to make too much sense of this podcast. It's a lot of nonsense and me goofing around and thoughts on top of thoughts, confused with thoughts. And you say, Scoots, the spandex stock is at an all-time high. You know, when I go off and I expound on spandex, or it could be the opposite thing. Scooch, you didn't hear about the great spandex, you know, the shortage. Oh, you know, us here, wherever, we're, you know, really, I say, okay, I'm sorry about that. You know, I tend to be, so don't try and make too much sense of the podcast. That's one thing. Kind of kick back, maybe consume it somewhat passively. You know, kind of just like you're watching the clouds go by. So that's one thing. Structurally, what to expect. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free and going, are the people who actively participate and the sponsors are supporting the show. Then we have an intro. The intros are normally around 12 minutes of me trying to explain what the podcast is, which you'll see we're right in the middle of it, towards the beginning, maybe the first to third so far. And it's kind of a show within a show. Some listeners get ready for bed during it or have their wind-down routine. Some listeners fall asleep during the intros. Some listeners listen during the day. Particularly intro, they say, well, it calms me down. It helps me put things in perspective. A few people skip the intros, so whatever works. But it's a show within a show where I explain what the podcast is and give you something familiar, something new. And something, I was trying to think of a word, burrowed in a pillow to keep you from feeling blue. Not quite the rhyme I was looking for, but it's close. And so that's the intro. Then there'll be some business between the intro and the show. Then tonight we'll be talking about Doctor Who, but in the most tangential, indirect way you could ever imagine. I say, well, are those bifocals? Oh, interesting. Canine. If a canine doesn't have canines, is it still a canine? You know, so that might be something I would go on a tangent about. And you say, well, I don't remember that episode of Doctor Who. But I kind of do. Kind of like you, if you had a, you know, watched the episode of Doctor Who, 4 months later, you had a dream about it. And he said, they said, well, geez, Brad, what's going on? You look distracted. And I think I had a dream about Doctor Who last night. Ooh, hubba hubba, which doctor? The witty one, Hardy Har Har. But yeah, I don't remember the dream. Anyway, so that's the Doctor Who coverage. Then we have some thank yous at the end. That's the structure of the show. A couple of other things you might want to remember. You don't really have to listen to this podcast. You can kind of listen. You can barely listen. You could turn me down. You know, there's people who listen just for the sound. They say, well, I don't even... One, I'm not exactly sure what dialect of the English language you're speaking anyway. But, you know, I don't know if I understand what you're saying. So I just listen for the noise. I say, great. So you don't need to listen, but you can. I'll be here till the end to keep you company if you can't sleep. Or if you're having, struggling, or you're waking up in the middle of the night, or you're stressed during the day, I'm here to the very end. To be your boyfriend, to be your boar bay. To be your companion in the deep, dark night. Yeah, but you don't need to listen to me, even though, you know, that's, I don't think that's irony, but, so you don't need to listen. And there's also no pressure to fall asleep. And maybe that's where the irony comes in. I'm here to keep you company as you drift off, to take your mind and say, hey, let's look over here. What kind of shoes was the doctor wearing this week? Did we ever figure out if that was a raincoat or a duster? And here's something I never asked. Did people dust their dusters with a duster? You'd say, well, what about a dustbuster? Did dustbusters ever have an ad with a dustbuster in a duster? Or, you know, I think they missed the boat back then. Now, that's not a thing. It was like a portable vacuum. But I don't know if they ever personified the dustbuster. They said, well, we got to lock down. We got Xerox. We got Google. We got spandex, and we got dustbuster. And I'd say, well, one out of four ain't bad. You know, that's still, you know, kind of Xerox is still a thing, maybe. And also the spandex and dustbuster, Google wasn't around. And you say, you're lucky Google wasn't around when you were then. Because people would say, what is spandex? And they'd say, super tight, yeah, whatever it is. Is Lycra and spandex the same thing, or are those different? That's another question I may have. Also, while I was talking, the cats got through to me. They said they don't want any spandex for their cat's pajamas. And I said, okay, well, back to the old cat pajama lab then, because I was thinking, and I said this to the cats. Believe it or not, this was during the intro. And I said, are you sure about that? Because you're just having a reaction. Because they say, you know, some people like to be swaddled. They got heavy blankets. Maybe some cats would like a tight pajama. And I realize this isn't an SAT question. I'm not saying all cats like tight pajamas. But I'm saying, you know, therefore, some cats don't, you know, like spandex pajamas. You know, you're saying all cats don't like pajamas, which I've based an entire business on the fact that one day they will love pajamas. Some cats, you know, most cats could love pajamas. And then some cats love spandex pajamas or lycra. We could get it, or we could just say, you don't want any compression pajamas. What about me? What about some cats like meanderwear? What about kitten? What about we put some catnip in there? That might be too. That wouldn't be good for bedtime. The cat's mothers just called in. The mothers of all cats. They said, please don't do that. Please don't put catnip in anything, especially at bedtime. I said, no problem, moms. Kitten moms, consider it done. But kitten moms, could I interest you in something, you know, in a lycra or a spandex or a yoga pant, like one leg of a yoga pant, which I'm assuming is some material like a lycra or a spandex, but maybe they said it will went generic. Does that happen to clothing just like it does with other things? You say, well, yeah, no, back in the 80s, you could only get spandex, but, you know, once that patent ran out, man, you could just get it where, you know, you didn't have to pay the full markup. You didn't have to pay the full markup for, you know, or you didn't have to get Lycra. You could finally get Savannah. And they said, okay. But now they don't have it. I guess I'm just wondering, and my thoughts are petering out. Partly because I realize the answer may be totally, you say Scooter Man. Yeah. They said, well, maybe it just fell out of taste. People said, well, spandex, that's the kind of thing you use, you know, what do you use? You use it for biking. You use it for, you know, maybe, I don't know what other things. When you want something super tight, but then they say, oh, okay, well, we got other, you, I don't know. So I don't know what happened to spandex. I know kittens and cats and cat mothers, they don't seem interested, but I could say, well, hey, kitten mothers, hey, cats, we've partnered, yeah, with the yoga pant, the big yoga pant company with the symbol. I forget, they're called like Oma something, Omicron Delta or whatever it is. And, something like, something like Omicron Delta. And, they have their own patented, a blend of fabrics, Lycra and spandex. Also, no catnip in there. But whatever keeps cats calm, if there's some material, and then also cotton, of course. Maybe some horsehair in there. I don't think horsehair would be good for bedtime either. You're right, cat moms. Good thing we're doing this research thing right in the middle of a podcast intro. But yeah, we partnered with that company. So, like, actually what I did was I bought all the extra, the short, like the, what do they call those, seconds or whatever. I got the fourths. They said, well, one leg is, these ones, we made the legs two different sizes. And I said, it's great, I'm going to cut them up anyway and make them into, you know, cat swaddlers. You see, your cat needs to be swaddled. To swaddle a cat, only if they want, you know, only the few cats, small percentage of cats in the world that want to be swaddled. Which, okay, so that didn't work out. I guess no cats want to be swaddled, but I'd like to swaddle you with my words, or not, give you as much space as you want. I'm here to take your mind off stuff, to keep you company, so you can fall asleep, because I've been there in the deep, dark night. I believe you deserve a good night's sleep, and I'm here to help. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be talking here. So, just kick back, see how it goes. But I work very hard. Give it a few tries. Like many reviewers say, it took a few tries. But I'm here to help. I work very hard, and I earn a nice drive, and I want to help you fall asleep. Thanks so much, and let's hear a couple of ways we keep this show going.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switch to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, we're talking Series 2, Season 2, whatever you call it, Episode 4, School Reunion, which is a witty little title because it's a reunion that happens at school. So I just got it, but I just noticing as I'm watching the version as I record it that the first scene is like the headmaster walking through the school. And at first, the walls are like off-white, but then as he gets closer to his office, they're bright lime green, like neon lime green. And I said, what in the heck kind of is that? Is this supposed to be good for learning or something? But let's see. It's a dude. He goes down the stairs. At first, I didn't know he was the headmaster. He's in a suit. His hands in the air and kind of like this, I guess, upper crust type motion. Or maybe like he's counting on his fingers. He's on the lookout. Gets the headmaster's office. There's a young kid there. It says he has a tummy ache. He says, why don't you go home? And the kid says they live at Ambrose Hall, which is a place where, like, or Annie lives. He says, oh, poor child, come in. We see the crest on the wall and on the uniform is DV, the crest for the school. Then my handwriting goes, it says T-R-U-B-O-U-B-L-E, Rory Vale. I mean, that's the name of the school, Dury Vale or something, Duryville. I don't know, maybe I'll figure it out later. Man, you know, and then the bell rings. Then we get a WTF because we see the doctor come into class to teach. He's in this beautiful brown suit with like sky blue pinstripes, very casual, but so classy. And I said, if it wasn't for those blue pinstripes, the suit, like the suit, I don't know. If a cut of a jib is how you wear your clothes, I like the cut of his jib. And he also has this reading glasses on, or style of glasses. I said, what? And all the kids said, what? Even the doctor. And then it opens. And then we have the doctor saying, teaching physics. He says physics about 55 times. He writes it on a dry erase board first, throws his marker down with some a flourish of style. Like, I'm the kind of teacher you could talk to. And he says, physics, 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 physics. Then he starts quizzing the kids. He says, okay, let's do a quick one. Two strips of nylon charged with static electricity hung from a string so they can swing freely. What if they get brought near each other? And the kid raises his hand, Milo. He goes, off you go, Milo. And he goes, they'd repel each other. He goes, correctamundo. And he's like, geez, that's a word I don't think I've ever used before, and I don't hope I don't again. Then he says, question two, I coil a piece of micro wire, place it in water, and turn on the electricity and measure to see how the water's temperature is affected. I didn't understand that, but he says, how do I measure the electrical power going to the coil? Only Milo raises his hands. And he says, anybody? And he goes, Milo. And then Milo says, measure the current in the PDs and an ammeter and a voltometer. And then the doctor's curiosity struck. He goes, okay, Milo. He goes, true or false? The greater dampening of the system, the quicker the energy loses its surroundings. False. What's non-coding DNA? That doesn't code for protein. And then he says, what's 65,983 times 5? And Milo answers instantly, 329,915. And he says, how do you travel faster than light? And Milo goes, by opening a quantum tunnel with an FTL factor of 36.7 recurring. And the doctor's like, oh boy. Then we see a sign on the wall. We go to the cafeteria. It says, eat more chips. And everybody's getting lunch. The staff gets their own lunch, which is a nice perk. Looks like it's either fried fish or chicken, chips, gravy, mashed potatoes. Really a gigantic lunch. I said, doctor, buddy, the good thing you're, whatever, eternal. Doctor's eating his chips with a fork. Rose is not happy. She's working the lunch line. And we're serving lunch. Doctor's all grins, ponders his chip. While he was eating it off a fork, he was pondering it. Rose comes over to clean the table. And kind of catches up with the doctor. He goes, I wish I had school dinners like this. Or Rose says that. And doctor goes, there's gravy in here. Something's up with the kids. They're too smart, or one kid is. And he goes, the chips are different. And Rose goes, they're gorgeous. And he goes, it's well-behaved here. Then he says, I thought there'd be happy hoodies, with ASBOs and ringtones or something. And I said, what in the heck is he talking? Maybe it was 2006. I mean, I guess I got ringtones. But yeah, I didn't even look that up. Rose isn't happy. Then she gets, she's, they've been working there 2 days. So she has a blue apron on. She even has to wear a white hat. And he says, blame your boyfriend. This was his idea to investigate this one. Then Rose gets busted for, you know, talking to the teachers. They say, you work in the lunchroom. Get back to work. Then another teacher in a suit. I said, you got to wear a suit to teach at this school. That sounds rough. He comes over, he talks to Melissa, Kenny, and Luke, and the headmaster's watching. I think Melissa qualified for, like, advanced classes. Kenny's supposed to, he is in a band from eating chips. Rose is cleaning as they bring in this big barrel into the lunchroom. Then Mickey calls Rose from his desk or something where he's working. He's got a book of abbreviations, and he's holding, he's hacking into something, and he's got a Torchwood lockout. There's also a book next to him, The Ascent of Man. Now, it turns out it's not a book, or maybe it is. Let me look at it. I'm going to try to get a good look at it. Torchwood access denied. Oh, yeah, it is the, it must be the book version, but I looked at it. We'll talk about that later. The barrel gets spilled. There's also a sign that says BFST, and that's where Kenny, whatever room, not Kenny, Mickey's working in. Best friends to stick together. Remember that, BFST. There's also a drawing of a flag with eyes. Rose calls in for help as they spill the barrel. You want me to help clean it up? They go, we got it covered, yo. Then we go to the computer lab where one of the suited teachers is showing the kids these green screens with spinning cubes and word-coded words, symbols, some sort of logoology or something. And the kids are all on their headphones with blank stares at this spinning green cube, typing away super fast. There's frantic music. The teacher stares. It's a long scene, a little montage of kids typing and watching spinning green cubes. Then we see the headmaster talking kind of with nervously to a woman as they go downstairs. He's kind of bragging about test results and the quality of the chips at school. She's Miss Smith. He's Mr. Finch. And we'll talk about her a lot later. They talk about qubits in the teacher's lounge or something. How also, there's a sign in the teacher's lounge. It's 20 pence per something for tea and coffee. I don't know if it's per teacher per month or per semester. And you got to pay Paulette. So you owe Paulette 20 pence for tea and coffee. Then they're talking about the change out, like the doctor's eating a snack as they talk about how the change out all the teachers, one who won the lottery, moment of music or something. And it's a journalist. He says, hello. And he says, I should think so. So the doctor meets the journalist and he's he's smitten or something. And she goes, who are you? He goes, John Smith. And she goes, oh, I had a friend. He was a very uncanny man or something, uncommon man. He used to travel to call himself John Smith. And the doctor's all something, all grins, all nervous. Second duty, a second day, good for you. Oh, good for you. Let me look this up because my handwriting is But he's talking to this James Smith. Let's see here. We got the teachers, Finch, doctor. Yeah. Oh, hello. I should think so. John Smith. Brilliant. Nice to meet you. Yes, very nice. She goes, oh, yeah. Have you worked here? He goes, no, it's my second day. And she goes, this is a school. Something's up with it, I think. And she goes, I'm going to have a look around. And the doctor's, good for you. Oh, good for you. Oh, good for you, Sarah Jane Smith. And this was new to me because I didn't, you know, I don't have a lot of history with the doctors. The doctor breathes and smiles. Then a kid with something posture investigates. Bad posture, I would assume. He sees the teacher has kind of transformed. Oh, yeah, it's Kenny. It turns out Kenny plays a role in this. Kenny's got bad posture, though. So he sees a teacher who, like, the teachers, like, have this strange thing where they pretend they're birds, like nocturnal birds. Then it's the evening. We see it's a reporter sneaking into school at night. And at the same time, Dr. Mickey and Rose are sneaking into the school. And the doctor has trouble being witty. Is that what it says? Let's see. Math department. Let's see. Rose says, it's weird being at school at night. I used to think the teacher slept here. And doctor goes, okay, team. Oh, yeah, he's having trouble. Oh, not team, crew. And he goes, Rose, go to the kitchen, get some oil. Mickey, look up the new staff. They're all math teachers. Go look in the math department. And they call them maths, people in the U.S., just so you know. And Rose goes, you can be okay. And Mickey goes, please, to Mickey. He says, investigation? I'm an expert. Then he goes the wrong way. And she goes down the other way. And then we see the reporter, Sarah Jane. She sees one of the birds. Rose gets the oil sample. Split up. Doctor hears a bird noise. Eat more chips. We see another sign. Reporter runs across the TARDIS, and then there's, you know, some music to counter, you know, act that. And the doctor waits. He says, hello, Sarah Jane. And she goes, doctor, it's you. You've regenerated. He goes, yeah, half a dozen times. She goes, so you look great. He goes, so do you. She goes, well, I'm older now. What are you doing here? He goes, well, you know, we've been around. We're looking into stuff. And she goes, I thought you were, you know, at the big farm, you know, big TARDIS in the sky. She goes, I waited, thought you'd come back. And he goes, everybody else went to the big TARDIS, you know, all the other Time Lords. I'm the last of the Time Lords. And she goes, I can't believe it's you. Then we hear Mickey say, oh, boy, found something. And they all run, and then Rose is running. They're looking for Mickey. Rose meets Sarah, and Sarah already gets a little passive aggressive. She goes, oh, doctor, you tell you're getting older. Your assistants are getting younger. And Rose goes, I'm nobody's assistant, yo. And then Mickey's like, I found the biology tests for next week. Should we sell them to any kids? And they say, no, no, no. Then they're walking the halls. Let's see. Rose goes, can we focus on this? Why are biology tests not at home in the teacher's briefcases or whatever? And Rose goes, who are you, by the way? Then they're walking the hall. And Sarah says, I used to travel with the doctor. Rose goes, really? Never heard of you. And the doctor goes, oh, yeah, I mentioned to you Sarah Jane before. And Rose goes, no, no, no. And she goes, so this season, it's not 100% clear, but I think it's pretty clear that Rose and the doctor are hubba hubba, wubba wubba. Because Mickey even says, the misses and the ex, every man's, you know, trouble, trouble. Then they say, maybe the biology tests were for the teachers, so the teachers could pass the tests. Because all the teachers are pretending they're birds sleeping in this room. They find them. Let's see. TARDIS teachers sleeping. Mickey runs out of school when he sees that. He says, I don't need to see teachers pretending they're birds. The doctor says, I need the TARDIS. Let's see. Then something. And is searching or something. They go to Sarah Jane's trunk and K-9's in there like a robot dog. And Rose says, it's so disco. K-9 Mark III, to be precise. The actress says, oh, the near 5,000, this was cutting edge. And she goes, well, she goes, Sarah goes, it needs to be repaired. I brought it with me. I don't know why she has it in her trunk, actually, because she's like, it's not working. And the doctor goes, oh, dear. Meanwhile, one of the teachers is a bird and is watching them like a bird. It says, I'm like a bird. I'm not going to fly away. I'm going to fly around here. I need the TARDIS. The doctor talks like it's a real dog about a canine. Then they're at a cafe or bistro or something working on canine, fixing canine. They're talking about breaking up and going back. And the doctor still has some things he's keeping. Because it's like Mickey's giving Rose a hard time. And who says it away? So it's like a quite an interesting love quadrant. And Sarah said, geez, I saw you on Christmas Day when those ships came. And Doctor goes, yeah, I was up there with Rose. And Sarah says, well, what happened? Well, you know, the Doctor says, I can't handle goodbyes, basically, especially time-related goodbyes. Can't do it. She goes, where'd you drop me off? Croydon? And the Doctor goes, right? And she goes, no, Aberdeen. And the Doctor says, isn't that next to Croydon? Then K-9 comes activated, and it says, hello, Doctor. And the Doctor goes, yeah, it's me. And K-9 says, affirmative. Very much a little bit like C-3PO. Then the K-9 can scan oil, which is krillotane oil or something. And the Doctor says, oh, that's who the teachers are, krillotanes, composite, an amalgam, kind of like England, like bits of Viking, French, whatever. They kind of take the best from everybody. They're colonists, so, you know, depending on your opinion, good or, you know, not great. But for them, they keep the traditions they like. And Mickey goes, what's the deal with the tin dog? He says, this is Sarah. And the Doctor says, Sarah says, the Doctor likes an entourage. Sometimes humans, sometimes non-humans, sometimes tin dogs. And she goes, what are you? And Mickey goes, me? I'm the, let's see. He goes, I'm the flyby man with the plan. Let's see. Where is it? Thought I wrote what he said. But he says, yeah, I'm their tactical support. And he goes, oh, no, I'm the tin dog. Curse of the Time Lord. That was another thing Doctor says because I can't say goodbye. Then it's the next day. We see school, bell ring, action music. Everybody splits up. They say, I don't know. I don't know what they said, but they split up. We see Mr. Finch's shoes. He's staring at the Doctor. Doctor's staring back. They're in a pool room meeting. Oh, they left Mickey in the car with K-9. That's the scene. I must have not, So the Doctor and Mr. Finch say, Doctor goes, who are you? He goes, I'm Brother Lhasa. And he goes, since when do krillotrains or whatever fly like birds? He goes, oh, yeah, 10 generations ago from the Bassans or the Bassoons. And he goes, you're human. He goes, yeah, I like humans. He goes, everybody else is just a morphic illusion. He goes, what are the time lords? You always thought you were hot stuff, huh? You didn't like change and chaos, though. And now you're the last one. And the Doctor's, what are you up to? And Finch goes, you don't know already? And the Doctor says, no, I'm asking. And Finch says, well, figure it out. And then the Doctor says, if I don't like it, I'll stop it. And he goes, well, I thought you were peaceful people. He goes, you seem to be something new. And the Doctor says, yeah, I'm old now. And, I'm tougher. You only get one warning this season. It's my theme. And the dude goes, I don't got any problems. Doctor, what's up? I'm just here. You know, we're just colonizing this school. Why don't you leave us alone? Yeah, then Mickey's in the car saying, oh, why do I, you know, complaining to K-9? Why do I get stuck with the dog? Whatever. Also, there's no running sign at the pool. Then Sarah Jane's having trouble with the sonic screwdriver, but Rose can handle the sonic screwdriver. So they still, and she goes, don't feel threatened by me. Rose goes, I don't. And Sarah goes, yeah, because I'm not really interested in picking up the passionate thing me and Doctor had. And Rose goes, really? And she goes, yeah, no. It was hard getting back to Earth. Now I'm used to it. I don't want to be caught in the Doctor's great hair and dreamy eyes and stuff like that. And Rose goes, back when you met, it was like rationing times, the Middle Ages. You probably couldn't handle that space stuff. And then they go back and forth, like, who's got, we even hung in the Loch Ness. And Rose goes, really? She goes, it's kind of like me and Shireen, fall out over the man, now we're arguing over the Doctor. When we were together, was he like talking nonstop? And then you're like, what? And then he looks at you and says, what, did you spill water out of your mouth? And she goes, yeah. Does he still stroke the TARDIS? And Rose goes, yeah, yeah. And she's like, I'm like, do you two want to be alone? And then they're cracking up. The doctor comes in. They're still laughing. And the doctor's like, cut it out, cut it out. Let's see, laugh at him, new ship, shop or something, new shop on the headmaster. The headmaster's like basically like his final FaceTime. Everybody's at recess playing ball and stuff. And they say, everyone, they get inside for a big test, except for Kenny, the kid with the spiked hair. Then the staff, the regular staff, they get birded. And the doctor's trying to work on a computer. He goes, what are they teaching these kids? Finch is in his office with a toothpick. He locks the doors, and then they do a process, the kids montage, where all the kids are looking at the green cubes on the green screen. Everyone but Kenny, who's running in the halls, he's looking in all the classrooms, trying to figure out what to do. And he runs downstairs. He calls, he's stuck in the school, but he calls to Mickey in the car. He says, get in here. So Mickey's like, almost decoded. Oh, then we see the cubes. The kids have almost decoded. Doctor says, no, it can't be. As he tries to figure out what they're doing. Then Mickey hits buttons on the canine, who states the, Mickey goes, what are we going to do? And canine goes, we're in a car. Just open the door of the car. And then we go back to the doctor. He goes, oh, this is what they're doing. They're kind of trying to do this paradigm, Skase's paradigm, universal theory. And then you control the universe, time, space, and matter, like gods and goddesses. And yeah, the oil, the chips, the computers, the kids, it's all doing it. And then Rose goes, well, what do you think? I'm super smart from the oil. Doctor goes, 59 times 35, and Rose goes, 2,065, whoa. And they go, why kids? And they go, well, kids have a better imagination to break the code. And, you know, they're using all the kids. Kind of like kids breaking Kapchkas or whatever. Magic chips, just brains, let the lesson begin. And then Finch says, you know, this is it, Doctor. We're going to solve the paradigm. So do you want to join us or not? Doctor, we're going to change things. He goes, change things? Are you thinking about, Doctor, you act like a radical, but you want to keep the old order. We want to change. Doctor goes, you change? And they go, yeah, no, we have power. But you could give us wisdom, work with us. He goes, you could go back and save the rest of the Time Lords, reborn. And the doctor looks tempted for a minute, because I like the things they are, power versus wisdom, Time Lords return, timeless race, or timeless. Oh, he goes, I'll make Rose timeless. He goes, there's so many goodbyes. How lonely you must be, Doctor. And he's tempted, but then Sarah Jane says, pain and loss, they define us as much as happiness and love. And they said, where were you when I need you all the time, Sarah Jane, saying that to me. She said, everything has its time, Doctor. Cracks a monitor. So then the doctor cracks a monitor. Mickey gets into school with Kenny. He's running around the school with Kenny and K-9. Finch calls everybody into bird mode. So teachers are flying around in bird mode. And then everyone ends up in the cafeteria. K-9 goes into laser mode, like a laser that makes the birds fly away. He calls it defense mode, but then K-9 says, my batteries are low. And then the doctor goes, it's the oil. He goes, they can't handle the oil. It'll clog their bird pores. So he goes, Mickey, go unplug the kids. Kenny, they get stuck, and Kenny goes, well, we'll just turn on the school bells. Birds don't like school bells. Then they're running around. Mickey does something good. And then they say, K-9, laser the oil barrels. Mickey follows a conduit, turns the power off so the kids aren't under working on that control. Teachers are on patrol and K-9 stays behind. It sounds a bit like C-3PO, you know, when K-9 says, okay, only here to serve, you know, that whole thing. And then the kids get away, school goes to the big farm, papers flying everywhere. And then this, like, young Hermione Granger says, hey, Kenny, is this was all you're doing? You're like a Ron Weasley. You're a hero. And Kenny goes, whoa, hubba, hubba. Something aside, oh, the doctor gives Sarah a hug, but it's a side hug. And I said, holy cow, I never related to the doctor more in my life than all this awkward intimacy. Gordon TARDIS, cup of tea. He says, do you want to come in the TARDIS and have a cup of tea? K-9, oil barrels, school. Oh, yeah, they're in this park. So then the doctor, she goes, oh, you've redecorated. The doctor goes, yeah. And she goes, yeah, I preferred it as, but this will do. Rose goes, I love it the way it is here. And Sarah goes, can you still do math? And Rose goes, no. And she goes, but you're still clever, more than a match for him. And Rose goes, you and me both, doctor. The doctor says, hey, we're going to head off, Sarah, but if you want to really be awkward, you could come with us. You know, just stay out here, you know, but you know, immediately, you know, get, as long as we know the boundaries, or maybe not, I don't know. He doesn't say anything about that. And she goes, no, I'm on my own adventure now. I got my own life. And Mickey goes, can I come? And he goes, no, no, with you, doctor. He goes, I'm not the tin dog. I want to see what's out there. And I said, Mickey, what are you doing? But Sarah goes, yeah, do it. Sarah Jane Smith, Mickey Smith. You need a Smith on board. And doctor says, okay, Mickey, you crack me up anyway. And then Rose goes, listen, Sarah, what do I do here? This is even, and she goes, it's worth it, believe me. And if you need to, after the breakup, come find me. Want to see what's out there. Mickey's in, Rose not pleased. Holy rectangle, I put. Rose had a shirt that said, pirates are cool, I think. Sarah, then there was just a doctor and Sarah alone. She goes, listen, I wanted to thank you for the time we did have together. And the doctor goes, well, you can tell it to your grandkids. She goes, yeah. She goes, you're a tough act to follow. She goes, you know, after that, he goes, no goodbyes. She says, goodbye, doctor. He goes, no, no, no. And she goes, say goodbye, please. And he says, goodbye, my Sarah Jane. And then they have a real legit hug. And he gets on the back on the TARDIS. As the TARDIS vanishes, K-9, a rebuilt K-9 is there. And Sarah goes, K-9. And the K-9 says, mistress. And she goes, what happened? And K-9 says, master rebuilt me with new systems. Hyperlink faculties or something. And she goes, so your brand new model. And K-9 says, affirmative. And she goes, yeah, he does that. Let's go get to work. And K-9 says, affirmative. And then the episode comes to a close. So let's see what came up on this episode. The first thing was Sarah Jane Smith, which I didn't realize she had such a history with Doctor Who. She's played by Elizabeth Sladen. And let's see, I lost my page here, but it's coming up. She has a long history with Doctor Who and two of its spinoffs. She's a dogged investigative journalist who first encounters the doctor trying to break a story on a research facility, then becomes his traveling companion for 4 seasons. Then they part ways. She goes back to Earth. Then she becomes a committed defender of Earth, occasionally reuniting with the doctor, all while still writing articles as a freelance journalist. She's one of the Doctor's longest-serving companions, co-starring in 18 sorties with the third and fourth incarnations of the Doctor from 73 to 76. Her and K-9 appeared in the 1981 pilot K-9 and Company. I wonder if that's out there to watch. She was in the 20th anniversary Fifth Doctor story, The Five Doctors, in 1983. The 30th anniversary story, Dimensions in Time, in 1993. Two radio serials with the Third Doctor. And in a spin-off audio drama, Sarah Jane Smith. And she's also in several episodes with the 10th Doctor. And as a central character of her own series, The Sarah Jane Adventures, which went from 2007 to 2011, and included appearances by the 10th and 11th Doctors. Let's see, originally it was offered to April Walker. Let's see, yeah, it kind of covers it. She first appeared in The Time Warrior, where she managed to, she was going undercover. I think her last episode, let's read about the following the 2005 Doctor Who revival. She was in School Reunion. They both investigate Headmaster Finch. Exposition reveals their past. Rose and her have back and forth. The success of the episode led to the development of the Sarah Jane Adventures, produced by BBC Wales for CBBC. In the Sarah Jane Adventures, she investigates things covertly from her manor house in Bannerman Road, driving an emerald green Nissan, which is her sentient supercomputer, Mr. Smith, and a sonic lipstick device. Let's see, so that's interesting. K-9 left Sarah to close off a black hole at some point due to the concurrent development of the K-9 television series. So there's a little bit about Sarah Jane. I mean, there's a lot more. She's also been in Doctor Who novels and short stories. She was consistently voted the most Doctor Who companion until the advent of the new series in 2005, which now there's Rose Tyler and Donna Noble competing. But she felt it was because the Doctors she worked with were so popular. In 2012, Toby Whitehouse, who wrote Sarah Jane's Return as School Reunion, said she was his favorite companion from the classic series. She was a comic companion. I think she, more than any other before, redefined the role of the companion. There are elements of Sarah Jane Smith you can see in every companion downward to Amy. She changed the companion from being a helpless person to a feisty, opinionated, strong equal. And at the time, that was quite an extraordinary thing to do. They were supposed to be powerless. I'm now paraphrasing in decoration. And what Liz Sladen did was quite extraordinary. We forget how revolutionary she was at the time. Now, another thing we saw that next to Mickey was The Ascent of Man. And it was it looked like a book, and I guess it is a book, by Bronowski. But it's actually a 13-part British documentary TV series by BBC and Time Life Film, first broadcast in 1973. And it was written and presented by British mathematician and historian of science, Jacob Bronowski, intended as a series of personal view documentaries in the manner of Kenneth Clark's 69 series Civilization, highly acclaimed for its informed but eloquent simple analysis, elegant monologues, and extensive location shoots. Title alludes to The Descent of Man, Darwin's second book in evolution. Over 13 episodes, Bronowski traveled around the world to trace the development of human society through its understanding of science. Commissioned to complement a civilization where Clark argued that art was informed by was reflected and informed by major driving forces in cultural evolution. Bronowski wrote the 1951 book, The Common Sense of Science, which the quote says, "It has been one of the most destructive modern prejudices that art and science are different and somehow incompatible interests." The both series were commissioned by David Attenborough, then controller of BBC Two, whose colleague Aubrey Singer had been astonished by Attenborough's prioritizing in arts given his science background. The book of the series, The Ascent of Man, A Personal View, is almost a word-for-word transcript of the television episodes, diverging only from the narration when the lack of images might make meaning unclear. It was shot in 16mm film. Let's see what else. Additional music from Pink Floyd and the Moody Blues. Yeah, it was released on DVD in 2007, and the episodes are 52 minutes. Lower Than Angels, Harvest of the Seasons, The Grain in the Stone, The Hidden Structure, Music of the Spheres, Starry Messenger, Majestic Clockwork, Drive for Power, Ladder of Creation, World Within World, Knowledge or Certainty, A Generation Upon Generation, in the Long Childhood. So something maybe worth checking out. I'm not sure if it streams anywhere, but hopefully it does. What about qubits? I thought that was a good word for anybody taking the SAT. Qubit, C-U-B-I-T, is an ancient unit of the length. It has several definitions according to the various cultures that use the unit. It could be somewhere between 444 and 529.2 millimeters. At 17.48 to 20.83 inches. And it was based on the forearm length from the tip of the middle finger to the bottom of the elbow. Cubits of various lengths were used in many parts in antiquity, including the Middle Ages and as early as early modern times. Still used in hedge laying. The length of the forearm being used to determine the interval between stakes placed within the hedge. It comes from the Latin noun cubitus, elbow, or cubo, cubare, cubi, cubitum, to lie down. Also, that's where recumbent comes from. So that's a little bit about cubits. Party har har. What about disco? This ain't no party, this ain't no disco, this ain't no fooling around. Disco, according to Wikipedia, is a music genre and subculture that emerged in the 60s, mid-60s, and early 70s in America's urban nightlife scene. It started out as a melange of music from venues popular with African-Americans, Hispanic and Latino-Americans, Italian-Americans, LGBT people, and psychedelic hippies in Philadelphia and New York City in the late 60s and 70s. It can be seen as a reaction to the dominance of rock music and the stigmatization of dance music by the counterculture. So not that different, I mean, in some ways than the 50s revival, I mean, in a different way, but parallels the whole 50s renaissance and sha-na-na. Several dance styles were developed during this time, including the bump and the hustle. The disco sound is typified by four-on-the-floor beats, syncopated bass lines, string sessions, horns, electric piano synthesizers, and electric rhythm guitars. Lead guitar features less frequently in disco than rock. Well-known disco artists include Donna Summer, the Bee Gees, Gloria Gaynor, Casey and the Sunshine Band, the Village People, Thelma Houston, and Chic. And many, at the height of the genre's popularity, many non-disco artists, including Donald Duck, recorded disco songs. Performers and singers garnered public attention. Record producers worked behind the scenes, developing the genre. Films like Saturday Night Fever and Thank God It's Friday contributed to mainstream popularity. In the 70s, major U.S. cities had thriving disco club scenes, and DJs would mix dance records at clubs like Studio 54. Discotheque goers also often wore expensive, extravagant fashions. you know, people were also, you know, partying pretty hard there. Here's something interesting. This disco was the last popular music movement driven by the baby boom generation. It began to decline in the United States in 79 to 80, and by 82 it had lost all popularity in the U.S. There was even anti-disco nights. But disco was a key influence in EDM, house music, and had several revivals. The origins of the term come from discotheque, which meant a library for phonograph records, and then became a term for nightclubs in Paris. By the early 1940s, the term disc jockey and DJ were used to describe radio presenters. In 66 to 74, there's proto-disco and Philly R&B musicians adopted several traits from the hippie and psychedelic subcultures, using music venues with loud sound, freeform dancing, trippy lighting, colorful costumes. Psychedelic soul groups like the Chambers Brothers and Sly and the Family Stone influenced proto-disco acts like Isaac Hayes, Willie Hutch, and Philadelphia Sound. In addition, the perceived positivity, lack of irony, and earnestness of the hippies informed proto-disco music. A forerunner to disco-style clubs were private dance parties held by New York City DJ David Mancuso in The Loft, a members-only club at his home. When Mancuso first threw his first house parties, it gave a chance for the gay community to escape getting bugged by the authority figures in New York and where people could freely dance together and, you know, just get down and boogie, I guess, and lay down and boogie and play that funky music. First article about disco was written in 73 by Vince Aletti for Rolling Stone. 1974, WPIX-FM had the first disco radio show. Philadelphia Soul, New York Soul were evolutions of Motown sound and typified by lavish percussion, lush string orchestra arrangements, and expensive record production process. And that all became part of prominent mid-70s disco songs. So this is a little bit about disco. And you can find out more on Wikipedia or where, you know, wherever, you know, the beat strikes you. Let's talk a little bit about the Loch Ness. Just the place. It's a large, deep freshwater loch in the Scottish Highlands. Extends to 23 miles southwest of Inverness. Its surface is 52 feet above sea level, 16 meters. And it's best known for, you know, saying, does any ancient dinosaurs live in here named Nessie? It's connected to the southern end by the River Ouch and a section of the Caledonian Canal to the Loch Ouch. Ouch. At the northern end are the Bona Narrows, which opens out into Loch Dock 4. Which feeds the River Ness in a further section of the canal to Inverness, ultimately leading to the North Sea via the Moray Firth. It is one of a series of interconnected murky bodies of water in Scotland, low water visibility due to a high peat content in the surrounding soil. It's the second largest Scottish loch by surface area, 52 kilometers, 22 square miles. After Loch Lomond, but due to its great depth, it's the largest by volume in the British Isles. Steepest point is 230 meters. That's 126 fathoms, 755 feet, making it the second deepest loch in Scotland after Loch Morar. 2016 survey claimed to have discovered a crevice that pushed the depth to 271 meters. But further research said that was an anomaly. It contains more fresh water than all the lakes in England and Wales combined, and is the largest body of water in the Great Glen, which runs from Inverness to Fort William. Now, there's also a movie about this that I'd have seen a few times, but never clear-headed. and it's called The Incident Likeness. It's a mockumentary by Werner Herzog and Zach Penn. And it's just a small cast of, I really liked it. I haven't seen it since I've become a clear-headed person. Herzog's filming a movie called The Enigma of Loch Ness. They're kind of showing him. Ricky Jay's in there. I think Jeff Goldblum's in it, too. And Zach Penn says, we're going to make this movie into a blockbuster. So I'll have to rewatch it. There's a lot of tension between Herzog and Penn. Is Penn tries to control things. This is a spoiler, just to say, tell you. I haven't seen the DVD, but maybe the extras. It's a mockumentary film within a film within a film idea invented by Penn. The ruse is revealed in Easter eggs hidden on the DVD. Penn wrote a scriptment, which is part script, part treatment, outlined the structure of the film and key dialogue, but most of it was improvised. As shown on the DVD, it was like a hoax, because some media people thought that it was an actual film. Adding to the verisimilitude was the fact that everyone that appears on screen is a real person, and most are in fact who they say they are. Even the crew. It gets a 62% on Rotten Tomatoes and 62% on Metacritic. Roger Ebert enjoyed the film, saying 3 out of 4 stars. Watching the movie is an entertaining exercise in forensic viewing. And the insidious thing is that even if it's a con, who is a conner and who's a connee? And Kenneth Turan of the Los Angeles Times called it an amusing mock documentary that spends considerable energy artfully trying to make you believe it's as real can be. So that's a little bit about that. And that's it. Good night. It's time to tuck you into a nice bed of peat moss. Get comfortable there. Some discos playing and just cubits away as K-9 and Sarah Jane. Keep watch over Earth. Good night. All right. I want to thank people who recently reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts. Matt Zeb 247 from the UK, who says, I always fall asleep before the intro works. Intro 100% works. Travel Bug 006 or 0606. I was skeptical, but works every time. I'm asleep within minutes. And thank you, everybody, for reviewing the show on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. I want to thank some of our friends on YouTube. Judes, thanks, and good night. Heather, thanks, and good night. Superior Rose, thanks, and good night. Noah, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kitty, thank you, thanks, and good night. Essential, thanks, and good night. Taya, thanks, and good night. Nima, thank you, and thanks, and good night. Haley, thank you, thanks, and good night. Yellow Dice, thank you, thanks, and good night. G. Blake, thanks, and good night. I. Tamar, thanks, and good night. Megan, thanks, and good night. Molly, thank you, thanks, and good night. Peggy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sarita, thank you, thanks, and good night. Volley, thank you, thanks, and good night. I'm not gonna, thank you, thanks, and good night. Noah, thank you, thanks, and good night. Patchouli, thank you, thanks, and good night. C. Steele, a good friend, thanks, and good night. Puns, thanks, and good night. Sherlock, thank you, thanks, and good night. Crispy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Laura, thank you, thanks, and good night. Misa, thank you, thanks, and good night. Rad, thank you, thanks, and good night. Free, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sophia, thank you, thanks, and good night. Rose, thank you, thanks, and good night. Shay, thanks, and good night. NWA, for the 9,000th viewer, they said, thank you, thanks, and good night. 100 miles and running. Nature, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sharvin, thank you, thanks, and good night. Prometheus, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Lysandra, thank you, thanks, and good night. Carol, thank you, thanks, and good night. Paige, Jen and Julian, thank you, thanks, and good night. Steven, thank you, and good night. Jason, thanks, and good night. Abdul, thanks, and good night. Baby, thank you, and thanks, and good night. Paige, thanks, thanks, and good night. Victoria, thank you, thanks, and good night. Me and DOG, thanks, and good night. One Lisa, thanks, thanks, and good night. Diamond, thanks, and good night. Gray, thank you, and good night. Sabrina, thank you, thanks, and good night. Gotcha, thanks, thanks, and good night. Michael, thank you, thanks, and good night. Lost, thank you, thanks, and good night. Brigade, thank you, thanks, and good night. Manny, thanks, thanks, and good night. Jason, thank you, thanks, and good night. Hanlon, I'm sorry, thanks, thanks, and good night. Kenny, thank you, thanks, and good night. Alyssa, thanks, thanks, and good night. Euro, thanks, thanks, and good night. SLB, thanks, thanks, and good night. Vag, thanks, thanks, and good night. Dogs, thanks, thanks, and good night. Mara, thanks, thanks, good night. Fox, thank you. John Barron, thank you, thanks, and good night. UG, thanks, and good night. Dakota, thanks, and good night. Riyad, thanks, thanks, and good night. And Carl, thanks, and good night. Thanks, and good night, everybody. Sleep tight. Sleep with me. It's a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can find all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can find everything they do at prx.org. And Sleep With Me is supported by listener action, whether it's listeners supporting the sponsors or directly supporting the show on Patreon or by other means. So thanks to everybody that supports the show and keeps it going. And here, let me tuck you in there. Go ahead and cue up another episode if you need it. I'll be here. I'm here to help. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.